This is bpnradio.com, and you're listening to Marketplace Saturday, where business leaders go to grow. Marketplace Saturday is designed for the entrepreneur, employee, or student that's looking to grow, learn, and become more today than they were yesterday. Now, here's your host for Marketplace Saturday, Rick Gentry.
Hey, thank you very much, Ian. This is Dale Gentry sitting in for my son, Rick Gentry, here on Marketplace Saturday. I'm so honored to be a part, even though he's hosting all day Saturday. He lets me sit in from time to time. It's going to be a great program this hour. We have the top State Farm agent in the state of Oklahoma with us the next 30 minutes. He's going to have lots of incredible impartation that we're going to receive. And Brian is with us today. His name is Brian Smith, and he is the leading State Farm agent in the state of Oklahoma. He's from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he's one of the top 15 in the United States of America, one of the top 15 in the nation. Oklahoma Magazine has recognized him as the best of the best for 6 years in a row, Tulsa World's best in the world 3 years in a row, and he's been honored as a Tulsa Man of Vision. Brian was born and raised in Tulsa, Oklahoma, as the owner of Smith Insurance and Financial Services. Brian is an award-winning entrepreneur and an Amazon best-selling author, business owner, mentor, author, philanthropist, and family man. And when we started Saturday programming, I wanted Brian to be on and share some of the credible principles that's helped him climb to the very top in the insurance agency. So we just believe it's going to be a wonderful day. Father, we just pray that you'll bless this interview, bless our time together in the name of Jesus. And before I play interview with my friend Brian Smith, then I want you to consider maybe hosting a program on Marketplace Saturday. Or maybe you'd like to have a sponsor, a spot. We'll tell you more about that next week. A lot of wonderful things are happening. And we are so excited that we can dedicate our entire day from 9 a.m. till midnight to people in the marketplace, people in business. It's amazing. So we're going to get right into the interview we had with Brian Smith from Tulsa, Oklahoma. So here we go. And today we're praying for business people, those in the marketplace. And we are delighted to have on with me today a man who was born and raised in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and is the owner of Smith Insurance and Financial Services. Brian Smith is my guest today. He's an award-winning entrepreneur, an Amazon best-selling author, business owner, mentor, author, philanthropist, family man. He's a top State Farm agent in Oklahoma, one of the top 15 in the nation. Oklahoma Magazine has recognized him as the best of the best for 6 years in a row. Tulsa World's best in the world 3 years in a row, and has been honored as Tulsa Man of Vision. Received his degree from St. Gregory's University, and declares that you're here today because of a decision you made yesterday. He also says people always try to tell you what you are and are not capable of based upon their talents, abilities, and visions. That's Brian Smith. Brian, good to have you on BPN Radio today.
Oh, well, thank you, Pastor Gentry. Do I call you Pastor Gentry? Because that's what I called you a long time ago.
You can call me Pastor Gentry, and call me Dale. That would be fine. Dale would be sufficient.
It's kind of funny. I think about the way my grandparents had raised me, and obviously the world's changed a little bit. But I and my mom as well raised me. But I think about the lady that reconnected us will always be Sister Couch. Uh-huh. And so people around us call her Kay, and I'm like, well, who in the world is Kay? I don't know a Kay. I was never allowed to call her Kay. You know, she's Sister Couch. He's Brother Couch. You're Pastor Gentry. So I try to remember a little bit of the old school, but you know, ask people what they're comfortable with. So. Yeah.
Well, most people just know me here on BPN. Most people know me here on BPN Radio as Dale Gentry. So that'll suffice, Brian. It's great to have you on today. And I understand I played a small role in your life many years ago.
Well, you know, what's funny is I was talking with some clients of ours the other day. It's been a couple of months ago now. And we were reminiscing about some of the older days at a church that I used to go to. And I mentioned to them, I was like, I don't know if you remember this, but, you know, Pastor Gentry gave a prophetic word over me as a teenager. And out of nowhere, a few weeks later, unrelated, completely unrelated, I get a Facebook message from Sister Couch. And she says, hey, I came across Brother Gentry's got a radio program. I reminded him about that. And I was surprised that she remembered, and that just a few weeks or, you know, months before that, I had been telling someone else about that moment, that you know, I was about, I think I was either 13 or 14 years old at the time. It basically, you know, as I remember it, you and I were talking a little bit before we came on. My mom is absolutely tearing apart the house. You know, we've moved a couple times, but looking for the old tape. But I remember, you know, you and I kind of laughed before the program started. And the moment was not paying attention to you at all. Not listening. There was one of the girls from the youth group on either side, and that was my focus at that time in my life. But the funny thing about that prophecy was everyone in my family, everyone around in my friend support system as I grew up through high school and college just knew that I was going to be a youth pastor or a pastor of a church or a missionary. Everyone in my family was that. But as you got to know me, you would know that I would have never made any of those jobs. I couldn't have done any of them. I would be fired immediately on the spot. The talents and abilities the Lord gave me are along the lines of what I'm doing. They definitely wouldn't have been in standing on a stage just to preach every week. I couldn't have done that job, and I respect so much the people that do that. It wouldn't have been for me. So your prophetic word is very interesting to me as I got older in comparison to what everyone thought that I was going to be and do, because they thought because I could speak or that I could stand in front of people or I could influence that I was obviously going to, you know, that's what I was going to do. But really what the Lord had in store was an ability to lead people, to influence other people and to mentor other people in a world to where my own pastor of my church probably couldn't walk in and have much of any influence at all. And so the word you gave me in short that day was that I was going to be blessed in business, that I was going to be an influencer and I was going to be a leader, and that I was going to be able to have a mark essentially in a world that would be different than kind of what I thought. And I believe that you were mentioning, you know, the marketplace. And as a teenager, I didn't really know how to chew on all that, to be honest with you, Pastor Gentry. But it wasn't until I got probably in my early 20s, looking back on that service, that I kind of thought, you know, this is probably what he was telling me, you know. So very, very interesting time in my life. But you know, as it goes along with individuals like yourself in our world, there are so many people that want to doubt, you know, when the Lord gives words to people. I mean, I know lots and lots of people that when someone's giving someone a word from the Lord, they don't want to believe it or they don't think it's real. But I've had enough things happen in my life between my grandpa's accident and personal experience that when someone tries to explain to me about how something's not real, I have the opportunity to explain to them, how can you argue this experience? And so that's kind of directed my steps ever since. And even though I wasn't listening that day in the service to you like I should be, I wasn't focused. I was hearing your words. But apparently, no matter what, there was a design for me, because I walked down nearly the exact path that you spoke of that day.
Wow. Well, it's an honor to be able to sow into your life. And of course, I'm a great proponent of one word from God can change your life forever. So I'm thankful that I had an opportunity to speak into your life a long time ago, Brian. Tell me your story, how you've become the one of the top 15 State Farm agents in America and the top State Farm agent in Oklahoma. How did you obtain this?
Well, you know, I that question always is interesting to me when I speak around the country, because there wasn't a lot I did. You know, you write a book, you go and you speak to people, and you look back and you think, what in the world did I do? Honestly, as I look back at the steps I've taken over my life, I've been extremely blessed. I'm not a perfect guy. I've made mistakes in my life. I've questioned what in the world I was doing around my faith. But the thing I always go back to when I'm talking or mentoring to people is I've always tithed and I've always prayed, you know, for guidance and help. And then I've always done one, this third thing. Any opportunity I had to help somebody else, I always did it. And I'll tell you, Pastor Gentry, from the earlier ages, I did that particular step in my life because I thought I would get something for that. I always thought the mechanics of helping somebody else would help me. Well, as I've gotten a little bit older, I've realized that helping other people with things that they can't do is that blessing that maybe they had been praying for before you showed up. And so I've gotten a little more mature over the years. I mean, I tell a lot of people the story about my mom worked multiple jobs as I was growing up so I could play competitive sports. Well, I didn't realize until I was about 23 years old that everyone's mom didn't have two jobs or three jobs. I didn't, you know, when I was in high school, my mom worked a couple of jobs, and I thought that was normal. But about 23 or 24, I'm sitting there and I thought, you know what? That wasn't normal. My mom was doing that so that we could have extra, so that we could play baseball and make ends meet. And so fast forwarding to where I am now, I can take very little credit. You know, God gave me the talent, ability, perseverance, and passion to do what I do. And everything in business that has to do with producing and growing and results is a lot to do with your mindset. That mindset pushes the action. Mindset, if not right, you can have all the talent in the world to the world's standards, but you will not grow. And so, I have to give all the credit to the Lord when I start talking about where I've gotten. And it's because, as a faith person, as a Christ believer, Dale, when I think, I can't name any talent that I have that would produce where we've gotten. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be able to list them for you. I'm an aggressive guy, and I'm pretty good in sales, and I have a little bit of organization about me, but, you know, there's nothing in my makeup that says I could grow a multi-million dollar business. There's nothing in my makeup that said I could write a book. In fact, I'll tell you this right here on the radio program for everybody. I don't read. I don't even like to read. I'm terrible at trying to remember to read. I mean, if I read my Bible a couple times a week, then we're in a good place. I'm terrible. But you mentioned you felt the Lord, a couple of years ago tell you, you know, you got to get on the radio and start praying for people. Well, a couple of years ago, I felt in my spirit that for me to continue to mentor people that I'm never going to see, I needed to put it down on paper. And I laughed. I thought, I'm not going to write a book. I don't even read. How hypocritical is that? And within a couple of years of that coming into my spirit and feeling that, I had a few people mention, hey, that thing you just said, where'd that come from? And I said, well, I it's mine. I said it. You know, it's just a quote. And they said, you've got a lot of those. You've got to start writing about it. And so what we did is I had sales myths. Sales myths are kind of like things that people say, Dale, that I think are ridiculous. You know, people say this one, for instance, they'll say something like, well, if I can do it, anybody can. I think that that's crazy. I think just because I can do it doesn't mean you can. I mean, do you have the same passion I have, the same execution I have? The one short story about that is when I was starting early in my career, people were asking me to come speak because I could tell a joke and I could make a point, and, you know, I made for a decent speaker. And so I got up and I do my whole deal. I'm kind of new at this point on the scene, but I'm speaking to a very large group of real estate agents, a few hundred. And I'm in my hometown. And I go through my whole deal, and I kind of focus on that one myth. I think that one sales myth, which is if I can do it, anybody can, because I think it's crazy. And I tear it apart for 20 or 30 minutes. I tear it apart to these people and try to rebuild what I think you should, you know, the way you should be thinking. You know, people can't do what you can do just because they want to, just because of this phrase. They have to decide and prepare and execute. So I get them all pumped up and get them going. Well, this happens to be a special day for their organization because their CEO, their owner that doesn't live in our state, is coming into town and doing this big sales meeting for them, and she's making an appearance. And so I tear this thing apart. Well, I go back. I'm going to stick around because I'm still early in the mortgage business at this time, and I want to hand out my business cards. I want to try to get some, you know, some referrals. And so I'm drinking coffee in the back of this humongous room at the hotel. And this is, you know, their CEO gets up, and everyone's going nuts because they don't get to see this person very often, and they respect this person. But I'll tell you what, Dale, if she doesn't rattle off the one of the funniest things I've ever heard, and that she goes into her little short story about how well they're doing, and then she lets the crowd know that there's nothing special about her, that if she can do it, they can do it. And believe it or not, I must have had some influence on that crowd, because they kind of settled when they heard that. I don't know what they were all thinking individually, because there was a few hundred, but I can tell you right now what I was thinking. I was thinking, she's full of it, because here's what I know about this person. She was handed a company. She did not work for that company. She didn't put in the blood, sweat, and tears. She didn't have to prepare. She sits in a chair now today to where she has to prepare for success, but the foundation was given to her. And so when I thought about the phrase, that was an exact example of what I was just explaining to the crowd. She's saying, if I can do it, anybody can. Well, that's erroneous. She did not do what a lot of them were having to do, which is build it from the very bottom and do the work. Essentially, she just took over a very, very successful company and started riding the waves, which is all fine. I love it when people have blessings in our world. I'm one of those that if you can work hard and go get it, I don't care. I don't think there should be a limit. I just thought in that moment, it was a perfect time for me to be confirmed on my thought process that I was trying to mentor people on, that, you know what, it's not as easy as just simple phrases like, if I can do it, anybody can. There's a lot of planning and preparing and executing that goes with it. So we get to where we're at now. I'll tell you, the Lord has blessed us. You know, you mentioned a few of the things. My team and I were Amazon bestsellers. I do speak around the country and mentor. You know, my specialty is helping the young person get into their own business, because someone helped me do the same thing. So I do that as well. I've one of the first and very few in the country to open up a second location as an owner of State Farm offices. And so, you know, Smith Insurance and Financial Services, my business name. And that's where I operate out of in Tulsa. And we're doing really well. I have a family. The family story is way better than the business story. I'm married to my wife, Anna, almost 10 years now. And we have a 7-year-old, Legend. Legend is an awesome kid. He was a miracle. I know a lot of people have miracles. Ours was too. We found out pretty quickly that things weren't going right in the pregnancy with Anna, and they let us know a few weeks ahead of time we were going to have a C-section to bring Legend, and one of the best doctors in Tulsa couldn't figure out what was going on with him. Well, about the time they get her opened up, the doctor, the surgeon, asked, would it be okay if they brought cameras in? And we had to sign a waiver. And I said, well, yeah, sure, what's going on? And he said, your son, what was going on here is that the tube was preventing him from dropping down. Had he dropped any at all, he would have not only died, but he would have killed Mom. And he said, we only see a few hundred of these in the country a year the way this is, and most of them don't make it, and then a lot of times the moms don't. And he said, we were within seconds of having to yank them out of here and go down the hallway just to try to save one of the lives. So we've got Legend. We named him Legend for obvious reasons. And then, I don't know, a few years into our marriage, Dale, my wife started sharing with me that adoption had been on her heart forever. And she shocked me with that, because I'm in the mindset early in my marriage that I'm blowing and going. I mean, we're growing business, and I don't want to talk about a bunch of kids, but she softened me up. I believe that I also had that inside of me as well. I just didn't know it. And we'll fast forward. We have little Maverick. He is 2 years old now. Maverick was a situation to where my wife was doing some mentor hours on the phone and got to know a girl that was contemplating having an abortion. And after my wife and her talked, and you know, we believe that the Lord led this girl to ask us to take Maverick. And so we got Maverick instead of him not getting to have an opportunity in the world. We got him right at birth. And not long after that, Dale, we had a little girl dropped off, which was his sister. She is now 3 years old. Her name is Sophia. And on December 23rd, just a couple weeks ago, her adoption was finalized. And so we now have three kids, and I spend a good amount of my time on that. And so that's how we get to where we're at now. We are blowing and going in our business. God is blessing us. But I've taken this opportunity in the last year to really listen. I made a decision about a year and a half ago to slow down on the speaking and the traveling, because it doesn't, you know, when you look at the world and what things are really worth, I kind of came to that. And one of my best friends had to help me come to this realization. When you're winning and when you're producing and when you're making money, it's easy to get a little bit of a head about that. It's a little, let your pride get out of control. And so when you have an opportunity to make it even bigger, you think, well, this is the next obvious step. Well, luckily the Lord puts friends in your path and in your life that can slow you down and straighten you out. And just because you need to slow down doesn't mean you're not going to win. And he let me know, hey, I don't believe you should really do that. It's not worth it. You know, the family is going to be much more important. So I've turned down opportunities in the last year and a half to what I call these days grow my pride, Dale. I wouldn't have made a lot of money in the opportunities. I would just made a lot of pride. And pride wasn't going to be anything that I needed to have long term, and so I haven't done my focus back on what's going on at home. God's blessed every other part of our business, and I think we're doing pretty good. And so I think at this point in my life, I don't necessarily think I deserve any more than what I have. I'm just going to keep working hard at what I have, but also making sure that I do right by my wife and kids. I know so many men in my position that have traded their wife and kids for a little bit of pride. And so I'm trying to learn what not to do from people that have gone before me.
Well, Brian, that's that is very good. It's obvious that you've been successful because you put God first with your finances, then you put your family next after that. But how can you become the top State Farm agent in Oklahoma, one of the top agents in the United States of America, and give time to God, give time to your wife and children? Give us some principles, some wisdom. I know there are business people, they are listening now, and they say, well, it can't be that simple. It can't be just putting God first and your family first. There's got to be some other principles that are involved, and you want to. Those are the two major ones, and I agree that you're. It sounds like you got your life in order, but you had to reach this pinnacle of success by using some principles that you might want to share with some eager ears here on BPN today.
Sure. Well, you know, just like you're talking about, to me, there's always going to be points that you need to have in your life. So let's start at the negative. you know, the negative side, if you were going on a scale of 1 to 10 and all the things that you needed, as Christians or as Christ followers, there's a couple of assumptions for people like you and me. The tithing is a big one for us. The faith to letting the Lord lead our steps is another one. And in our world, a lot of people don't include those in their plan of attack. So I kind of call that, when I'm on a scale of 1 to 10, that's negative 1 and 2, now, or negative 2, negative 1, now 0. What's number 1 in the business principles? To me, if I don't do those other things, I don't have any of this. Mm-hmm. Now, you'll know as well as I do, if I go and speak at a business deal, they're not everyone in the room is in love with those particular principles, but they get them anyway. So I always start at negative 2, then 1, then 0. 0 is showing up. You got to show up. I'm going to share a quote with you. This is one of my favorite quotes. You know, Leonardo da Vinci said this, believe it or not. He said, "It had long since come to my attention that people of accomplishment rarely sat back and let things happen to them. They went out and happened to things." And so I share that principle with everyone, because when you get to 0, showing up is more than half the battle. So many people look around, especially in our world today, and think that things just happen. They don't just happen. You have to go out and happen to them or to that thing. Mm-hmm. If you want your business to grow, it's not as simple as going down to your local bank and getting an SBA loan because you have a good credit score. Being able to grow a business fundamentally the right way and make money takes capacity. So number the up from 0, which is showing up, number 1 is capacity. Dale, and a lot of people can't control capacity. So if you don't have God-given capacity, you've got to go out and learn how to grow your capacity. And in a lot of ways, that has to do with just basically stair-stepping yourself into how many things you can handle at one time. So many people have a hard time with that because they don't know how to practice capacity. I would tell you the best way to practice capacity in your business is to essentially get your business plan out and name all the things it's going to take for you to grow your business. You know, and that's a long conversation, and if anyone, we'll share at the end if people want to contact me. I do that kind of business mentorship, but you've got to be able to list everything in your business, and then you've got to see what of these things can I do and what of these things can I not do. Now we've got to talk about the structure or the what we would call the plan of your business and how it diagrams out with your support team. And so when you get past being able to capacity, well, what you've got to start doing now is really executing. You've got to execute all the things you've planned. So two of the things that aren't on the business list of things that you need, and the reason why is because you can't learn these two: passion and mindset. Passion and mindset are the prerequisites to any growing business. And what happens when people don't have a passion for their business, or they don't have the mindset of being a winner, being someone that's going to go out no matter what the odds are, they're going to fight. If you don't have those things, having a successful business is going to be tough, because I've never met anyone with a really successful business that also wasn't the type of person that said, no matter what, I'm going to fight, then I'm going to figure this out. So people have got to really get someone involved in their life that can help them. You know, that the magic, you know, what the listeners are going to be waiting for right now on how I've grown a multi-million dollar business is simply this: you can't do it alone. You need two people. The first one you need is going to be the Lord. If you're a believer, which everyone on this radio program I hope is, and if they're not, what they're going to have to do is give you a call after, because I believe you'll help them.
That's
but
right.
We need the Lord. That's number one. Number two, you need someone else that can speak into your life and into your business. And that right there, if you do that part, essentially if 10 people were to call me today and I signed up to help them grow their business, they would. Even if their mindset wasn't there, because I'm going to coach their mindset. So if I was to give anyone out there the secret, you've got to get out and find someone to help you. Kick this thing off. If you're in the middle of a business, we can still help you. Someone can still help you. If you're about to quit, well, then we've got to talk about why you're quitting, but you can still be helped. So I would say the most fundamental part, Dale, of growing a business is getting help. You've got to get help, and you've got to get an opinion on what you're doing and someone that can lead you the right way. And I did that as a young kid. I didn't go find that person. I'll tell you, Dale, that person came to me as a part of what I think about what your words were is, ironically, as a 23-year-old, I was trying to get a job in the mortgage business, nothing special. Well, the funny thing about it is I have all these stories in my life to where it all ties back a little bit to kind of what you said, by the way, as I go through them. But I'm 23. I'm looking for a job. I'm home from school. I stopped going to Evangel. I'd been in a bad wreck with a drunk driver, and I just thought, you know, I'm not going to be able to play sports or do anything forever. And I come home all depressed, so I start just searching for jobs, and I meet this guy in the parking lot of my apartment. And when I tell you, Dale, it wasn't just a guy. I mean, this guy was put together. He had the suit on. He had the car. Nice-looking guy, a couple years older than me. It was the kind of guy that, in my age, I'm looking for this guy. And the twist of this story is this guy ran one of the dirtiest, most corrupt mortgage companies in America at the time, but I didn't know it. And I go through a couple of weeks of getting to know him, and he wants me, you know, I'm a 23-year-old, I'm young, aggressive, he could tell I could sell anything. And what happens is I'm about to get the job, okay? Well, a couple of days later, I meet another company that wasn't as flashy, no good-looking guy in a suit with a car. It was just a regular company, but I felt like I needed to apply. So I apply, and lo and behold, Dale, I get that job. And I accept it for some reason over the other one. To this day, I can't tell you why I did, because the other one was prettier, flashier, all the stuff as a single 23-year-old, all you wanted. I mean, I know this is a Christian radio program, but there's also transparency and truth in our lives. When they walked me through this place to meet it, they had all the girls there, you know, all the stuff. They were appealing to a young 23-year-old salesman. And for some reason, I don't know why in the world I ever did it, but I picked the other one. And luckily, I did, because within a couple of years, I was an owner of that mortgage company that gave me a shot at 23 with no experience. And so you've got to listen. You know what I mean? You've got to listen to your discernment. You've got to listen to what the Lord is telling you to do, even if it doesn't make sense and it goes against what your flesh wants to do.
Well, this is amazing, Brian. You have an amazing story. And so how long have you been with your company,
State
Allstate?
State Farm.
Sorry about that. Yeah. How long have you been with State Farm, and how many agents are there?
Sure, yeah. State Farm has 18,000 franchise agents involved in the organization. I've been with State Farm since about 2009. I met another agent back then, and he asked me if I wanted to come work for him. And I said, honestly, I don't really want to work for you, but if I can get my own spot, I'll work for you. And he said, you know what, if you come work for me, I can help you do that. Well, Dale, that wasn't good enough for me. I was running a mortgage company at the time and working as one of his staff members. And through that time, unbeknownst to anyone else, I was making the connections I needed. So we go back to that passion and mindset. I didn't go take a job with this guy, Dale, to sit around and run his business and help him. I wanted my own. And when he didn't help me do it, because see, here's the part that I didn't share with you yet. He wanted me to work there for 3 years before I could maybe he would introduce me to the people that could help me with my own business. Well, he didn't tell me that either. I found that out a couple months in. He set me down and said, you know what, Brian, I really need you to work here for probably 24 months to 3 years, and then I'll introduce you to the right people. You know, I went home and told my wife that, and she knew good and well I wasn't sitting around for 24 months for anything. I continued to work for him. I set records in his office. They did things in his office that has never been done in his business, and I was working there part-time. And I was praying that I would meet the people that I needed to help me get where I wanted to go. And within a couple of months, Dale, I had met some executives inside the corporate structure of the company and was able to warm up to them and able to earn my own opportunity as one of the youngest people in the state to take over an office. The part behind that doesn't get talked about is that never happens. Those people aren't really supposed to talk to other agent staff, but there has always been the hand of the Lord in some way on my life, even if I didn't deserve it. And opportunities arose to where I was in front of those people that I really wasn't supposed to be in front of. And so ultimately, I ended up getting the opportunity. And within a couple of years, you know, we were recognized as the number one agency in Oklahoma and one of the top in America.
Well, you've definitely got an amazing story, Brian. We could talk for a long time. I know. I believe there's people out there listening that would really like to start their own business. In fact, I just believe that the Christian world needs to be entrepreneurial. But so many people are just afraid to do it. So they're working for somebody else. They're helping make somebody else successful. They have a secure 9-to-5 job, but they're not advancing very much. So, you know, I just know that there are people listening that really need to get out there, start their own business. And I want you to give some closing words for these people that may be afraid. I know I had a brother-in-law who was 36 years old when he died. He died of a heart attack. He worked for a major oil company for 18 years, but he always said to me, Dale, I want to start my own business, but I'm afraid. I won't have the benefits. I won't have the security of a job. And then suddenly, without warning, he was gone. But he hated his work. He hated when he went to work. He hated it every day that he worked different shifts. And I just thought about him when he passed away. He never fulfilled his dream because he was just afraid to take the risk. What would you say to these guys?
Look, Dale, every single thing that you want in your life, in your business, in your marriage, in your relationships is generally right outside your comfort zone, all right? People have got to learn to get uncomfortable. If they really want to accomplish something, it won't be easy. And people have also got to realize another thing. You're either going to be willing to change, you're going to have to be willing to evolve, or you're going to have to be reactively changed by change. Things aren't going to stop changing just because you don't want them to. Things aren't going to get easier because you don't want to work harder. So people have got to understand they'll either change or evolve, or they'll be changed by the change that's happening. I would tell people, kind of in closing, that I would love the opportunity to help them if they wanted some help. We always take on clients, specifically in the business mentorship realm, because it's a lot of things we can do digitally by phone, and there's lots of practical things that we can help people do in their business. So if they wanted to be able to contact me, my website for that is iambriansmith.com. That's B-R-Y-A-N. A few other things they can do there, Dale, is connect with me on social media there. Obviously, it's not hard to find Brian Smith when you start looking on Facebook and Instagram and all that, but iambriansmith.com. You can also buy our book right there. There's a link to buy it directly from us. We'll sign it and send it to you. You can also link to Amazon and buy it there as well. So it was an honor to do this with you today. Even though you and I don't technically know each other, you have a special time stamp in my life as a teenager, which I'm sure lots of other people would share with you as well. So that's been a neat thing for you. And I appreciate the time you would take to have me today.
Well, thank you, Brian, for being on. And I'm sure it would be great if you would come back again. And I just encourage people to get your products and your resources at iambriansmith.com. Is that correct?
Iambriansmith.com, Brian with a Y.
Right. Okay, why don't you, before you go, Brian, we're going to run out of time here soon, but why don't you say a prayer for the business people out there? We're calling America to pray for the business people, the entrepreneurs, those in the marketplace, and you might just, however the Holy Spirit leads, you can say a prayer today.
Sure, Dale. Lord, I want to thank you, first of all, for our opportunity to get up today and to breathe and to see our families and to go to our businesses. I want to pray today, Lord, for the strength to carry on. I want to pray for leadership. I want to pray for blessing. I want to pray for enhanced and renewed entrepreneurship in the listeners' hearts and minds today. And I'm going to pray, Father God, for protection over all the families represented today, and protection and blessings over Pastor Dale's family, his supporters, as well as his family and friends. Thank you, Lord, for all the things you're going to bring to us. And we thank you for the effort that you're going to put inside of our bodies to go and act and to do things, not just to sit around and wait. We've got to act and we've got to make decisions. You've given us hearts. You've given us minds. You've given us energy and talent and ability. Help us to go and use it and to achieve the success that we want in our business. But more importantly, Lord, help us to use those talents and abilities to influence and to help other people that might be walking blindly through this life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Okay, thank you very much, Brian, for being on. You've done a great job. I speak blessings on you, and we look forward to having you back again soon.
You've been listening to another special edition of Marketplace Saturday, being heard throughout the day here on bpnradio.com. Keep listening for another special show here on Marketplace Saturday with your host, Rick Gentry.